kind of a usual fall October morning, isn't it? We've got a little rain, a little sunshine. You're starting to see the sun starting to break through. It's going to get a little bit nicer this afternoon. The leaves are starting to change colors. Just that special time of the year. I really love the fall. We haven't turned on the heat in our house yet. I walked into the church here and I'm like, oh, got the heat on. I kind of like it cool. I suppose that's kind of why I live in Minnesota. Don't get me wrong, I like sun and sand, but I don't know if I could live there. Well, if God called me there, I'd give it a shot. This morning we're going to be continuing on in our study of 1 Corinthians. And I want you to know that I do not believe in coincidence. It is one of the tenets that say God is a God of providence. He does plan each and every detail. It's there. We look at our text this morning and most of you will recognize it as what's referred to as the love chapter in the Bible. I didn't plan it that way. When I decided I was going to preach 1 Corinthians, I had no clue that Richard and Arlene were going to get married. And I certainly made no attempt whatsoever to try to time things that this would be the passage that we're going to be looking at on the morning of their wedding. In fact, originally they were going to get married last week. But they made some changes because Arlene said she needed more time. Here we end up. This is where we're at. So we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. We'll start with verse 31 of chapter 12, as it is the lead-in. So let's read this. It said, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." Side note, don't listen to my wife. She says otherwise. "Now, we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then, we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that we don't have to guess what your will is. You spoke it and had it written down. And you preserved it over the ages so that we could read it and know it for ourselves. Lord, we thank you that this is not old and dusty and not relevant, but it's new and fresh every time we read it, as only your word can be. Father, we ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to be present here, to open our hearts and our minds to your word this morning. Speak to us and through us, so that your light is the one that shines. The Lord, this morning, might each person here who is present here in this place hear from you and know what you would have of them this day. Might each one be encouraged and blessed. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach, I might step out of the way and you might step forward, that people wouldn't hear me, but they would hear you. And Lord, might every stumble I take just be totally ignored and not seen. And might you and your word and your perfection be what shines through. Father, teach us of your love this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember our context where we're at. Chapter 12 was a discussion of the spiritual gifts, that Paul didn't want the Corinthians to be ignorant about them. He didn't want them to be using them improperly. He didn't want people thinking that one gift was necessarily, well, that people didn't have gifts, that everybody had a gift, and that there was only one gift, but there were different gifts, and that each would be gifted. And the amazing thing is that the reason why we get the gifts isn't for ourselves as Christians. It's not for my benefit that Lord gifts me with certain gifts, but it's for your benefit, the body of Christ. And the gifts that you have, they're not yours. Or I shouldn't say they're not yours for your benefit, but they're for the benefit of me and the other Christians around you, for the rest of the body of Christ. And those who are, if you would, future to the body of Christ. That's why we have the gifts. They're for the proclamation of God's word. They're for the encouragement of the body. And that's why we have them. And he's talking about the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, even tongues. And he's saying, an interpretation, saying, everybody's got a gift. Some have multiple gifts. Seek after more gifts. But if you really want to know how to use the gifts, if you really want to know what's important about the gifts, let me show you the most excellent way. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love are all gifts from God. Just as the other gifts that were listed. Yet, love, says here, is the greatest. So what is love? Well, some of you know my definition that I've presented before. A time or two over the last 10 years, I'll say it again. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's it. If we look at the description that we have here, verses 4 through the first half of verse 8, we see basically that laid out. See, we're not talking about amorous love. We're not talking about romantic love. We're not talking about physical love. We're talking about a decision that one is going to be selfless, loyal, and benevolent in their concern towards another person. We're going to put them first. Selfless. Loyal. Well, even if you're not nice to me, I'm still going to love you. Benevolent. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to do what's best for you, not necessarily what you want me to do. Children have all sorts of problems with this. But I want to have chocolate cake for breakfast. And lunch and dinner. And parents have to say no. Despite what Bill Cosby said, it is not the perfect food. Chocolate cake is not a breakfast food. We need to serve our children something healthy. Why? So that they'll be healthy. Why do we do that? Because we love them. We want to do what's best for them. Why do we spank the hand of a small child that reaches up to the stove? Because we hate the child, obviously. Why else would I harm a child? Why else would I slap that kid's hand? No, because I love them. Why does a stranger run into a burning building because somebody's screaming in a fire? They hear them and they run in, or somebody comes out and says, "My baby's in there." Some stranger will run in, sometimes giving their own life, to pull a child out. Somebody will jump into the water after somebody is drowning who they don't know. People put themselves in harm's way for other people all the time. Why? Because it's what's best for them. They need to be protected. They need help. That's love. Love is a decision. It's a decision that does garner emotion. But it's not emotion that leads to decisions. Okay? That's called romantic love. That's like, oh. Yeah. That's why I look at Donna. You know, I love her this way too, but I do have romantic love for Donna. Butch, not so much. But I love him. And we're supposed to. God's word tells us we're to love one another. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Because God so loved the world. That's not romantic love. That's this love that we're seeing here. This love that means, I have made a decision that I'm going to do what's best for you. That I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to take care of you in the best way I can. For your ultimate best interests. And if you're not nice to me, and as a parent, I can tell you, I've had times where my children said, "I don't love you anymore. I don't like you. I hate you." And you know what? I gave them a hug and I said, "Don't worry about it." And yeah, it hurt when they said it, but I didn't change my commitment to love them. Has Donna done things that have hurt me? Yes. Have I done things to hurt Donna? Yes. But yet she still loves me. Why? Because we made a commitment, a decision that we're not going to change from. And this is the love that God has for us. He's made a commitment. God doesn't go back on His commitments, His promises, His covenants. It's talking about, if I speak in tongues of men but have not love, I'm only resounding gong. Why? I can speak in tongues of angels, speak in different tongues of men, but if I don't have love, I'm just a clanging cymbal and banging gong. It's making noise. Why? Because we're supposed to love. That's supposed to be our number one thing. If we really want to serve God, first we need to learn to love. If we really want to best use the gifts that God gives us, prophecy, knowledge, miracles, whatever, doesn't matter. If we really want to know them and use them best, it has to flow out of love. Because if I have these spiritual gifts that God has given me, which I do because He gave them to me, but I'm keeping them for myself, I'm not acting in a loving manner towards you. And what Paul is telling us here is that the Lord wants us to take our gifts and use them from a position and place of love. Now, if I have love for you, and I have a gift, a spiritual gift, that can benefit you, what do you think the odds are that I'm actually going to use that gift for you? Pretty high. Probably not certainty, because, you know, sometimes I trip up. But if I do love you, if I am coming from that position of love, then I am going to use the gifts that God has given me to be a blessing to you, to do what's best for you. Now, that might mean that sometimes I need to withhold something. Sometimes I need to give you something. Sometimes I need to encourage. Sometimes I need to discipline, depending upon what my role is, depending upon what your need is. But it's all going to be driven by love first. Because if I'm doing this stuff and I'm not loving you, then I really can't love God. Because if I do love Jesus, if I really, really, really love Jesus, I have to love you. Because that's what He said. If you love me, you'll obey me. And He said, love one another. He even told us to love our enemies. Now, I'm not always an easy guy to love. I'll have several people here that can testify to that. I won't call any of you out. But if you spent more than 10 minutes with me when I'm being frustrated on something or I'm getting going, sometimes I can be pushy. I can be demanding. Sometimes I get whiny. Not very lovable characteristics. But yet God tells you you're supposed to love me anyways. So there. But I'm supposed to love you anyways too. And that's the thing here. Faith is important. We need faith in Jesus. We need hope. But you know what? Even after perfection comes, even after the final judgment, and we're all have either gone to heaven or to hell, if we're with the Lord, I pray we're with the Lord. Love is still going to be primary. Love is still going to be the big thing. You know, speaking in tongues, not going to be so much. Prophecies, well, we're not going to need prophecies no more. Miracles, I don't know what purpose they'll have. But love is still going to be there. Hope, our hope will have been realized. Our faith will have been proven. Love is going to continue. Love is the one thing that continues on. So our worship leaders say, you know, they've got the better job than pastors because, you know, they're not going to need somebody to preach when they get to heaven, but everybody gets to, you know, supposed to be worshiping God. So that's going to continue. Well, you know what's going to, the gifts are going to continue? Love. Love will continue. It's going to continue on. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Do you want the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Seek the greater gifts, Paul tells us. But let me show you the better way. Love. See, seek love first. Learn to love first. And then you'll be able to use your gifts to their full extent. Much, much better. Because that's what they're intended for. That's the way they're intended to be used, is through love. Love of God, love of each other. So this morning, my injunction to you, the injunction from the Word, seek to love. Seek love. Again, I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm not talking about physical love. I'm talking about that decision to be selfless, loyal, benevolent in your concern towards others. Look at the body of Christ. Do you truly love your brothers and sisters in the Lord? How can you, if you don't, seek to love God more? Seek to follow Him more? Pray. Say, Lord, show me how. He will. He does answer prayer. Time and time again. Seek love, because faith, love, and hope are at the top of the list, but love even is overall. It's the reason why our Lord created us. It's the reason why He came on earth to find a way to forgive us for our sins, provide that salvation. Love is the reason. And we as Christians need to learn to live in that love, to live out that love. And then the gifts of the Spirit truly open up for us and become powerful, powerful ways to share and show that love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We ask that You would just show each of us this week how we can better love those around us. Lord, give us a better understanding of what love is. Show us the truth of Your love in our lives. Lord, open our eyes to see how it is and how much it is that You love us. Father, we thank You for the gifts of faith and hope. But most of all, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your love and the gift of life and salvation and life eternal that is there for us because of it. Now, Lord, help us to live in love and to show Your love to all those around us, that love may grow. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.